You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
I made a fantastic start, 81 points by halftime as we beat Adelaide, our second time beating a side in the top eight. And we did it in style. And even though the Crows came back, you know, in the second half particularly, and mainly in that last 5 minutes of the game, all the work had been done to secure the four premiership points, and that was the most important thing out of the day.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. And like you say, like I guess it was more the score they got in that last 5 minutes or so, like three quick goals towards the end when the battle had already been won. But what I was more impressed about was, yes, that first half was electric. But that third quarter, Jamie, when Adelaide threw everything at us, I thought we did so good to stand up there, particularly when we looked to be having a few injury issues. Obviously we saw Ridley hyperextend that knee. Redmond as well was coming off for some hammy issues. And look, we had to pull out all the stops to stay in there because they were getting some good quality ball in that forward line and really locking it in, Jane. But our backs just stood up time and time again. And I think it was it would have been lovely to win by a bit more, obviously, but to walk away with that win, quite convincingly, really, it was a huge step forward for mine.
Yeah, it was just so important on the back of that heartbreaking loss against Port the week before. Mm. Everyone said we had an easy draw, but, we'd lost to Freo and Freo. We lose to Port after the siren. We just couldn't afford to lose this game, particularly on the back of playing Geelong in Geelong the following week.
Yep.
So I was just loved the way that we came out and just, hit them between the eyes, basically. And they were not comfortable with the way we were playing. And, that was just outstanding. A lot of people are now starting to realise this is a different Essendon side from days gone past. And even like Matthew Lloyd saying, all last year or in previous years as well, I never knew what I'd get out of Essendon. Like,
yep.
I now have that belief. I know what they're going to do. They're going to be trying hard, and I can have the belief that they'll throw the kitchen sink at trying to win, which I never used to think that at times.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're fair comments. Like, they're the same things that us fans have said as well. There's been some very lackluster performances in recent years, not only like for one game here or there, but like over the course of many games and many seasons. So look, we're playing a good brand of footy. Yes, we've had our disappointments and things like that, but again, we talked about it last week, Jane. The one thing we've never questioned this season, or had the need to question, was the effort, the intent, because it's absolutely there from all players. You'd have to say they really seem to be buying in, and I think that really goes to show, as to why we sort of walked away with that win on the weekend, because everyone just played their role. You look at a Jakey Stringer, like we don't need him to do the flashy stuff, but I think he did enough team things. Whether it's to drag a defender away, whether it's to take a good mark, whether it's to bring someone else into the game. He walks away with, eight possessions? I don't think he kicked a goal.
He kicked that nice goal.
Oh, that's right. He did. He did, absolutely. But like, we didn't need him to win the game off his own boot. It was a team effort. And that is the thing that's going to stand you in much better stead. Hopefully come finals, James, where you're not relying on one or two blokes. It's a whole team effort. And they're really sticking in. Another thing I really liked, James, and we'll talk about it later, but the faith that the coaches had in throwing opportunities to the young blokes. This game, like we spoke earlier in the year, how we relied on, Parrish, Setterfield, Shield, Merritt. It was them or bust. How much time did you see, Perkins, Caldwell, Hobbs getting that centre there, Jane? And they did well. So, like, we've built, I suppose, faith in the system, and then there's faith in the players individually, and they all seem to be singing off the one page there. So it's really heartening to see, and you can see why the likes of Matthew Lloyd, who's been critical, but I don't think unfairly. I think he's been pretty spot on with a lot of his criticism. You're now starting to get some buy-in from the likes of him. So it's great to see.
Yeah, now news just in, mate. It looks like that Andrew Phillips will be missing the game against Geelong in Geelong. He was given a 1 week sanction for head high contact, which is disappointing. Because he's been playing well the last couple, especially in Draper's absence. Now, generally, what the case is, the club will appeal and try and argue the severity. So I won't lock it in that he's definitely out of the game, but it may be time is now for Nick Bryan to get his first real shot at being the number one ruckman. Opportunity. Watching Nick Bryan play in the VFL. He's a class above that level, and even Brad Scott said that, just recently in the last presser, prior to this game, he said he's way too good for VFL level, but it's just hard to get a spot at the moment. And so he must be frustrated, but this is his chance. I wouldn't say Geelong's the most imposing ruck combination, so. That should give him some belief that he can be competitive. To play Geelong in Geelong, I still am a bit angry about that, mate, because I don't obviously they're gonna have home games, Geelong, but like why the AFL ever thought to put Essendon and Geelong in a non-completed stadium? It can hold around 20,000 at the moment. Just baffles my mind. It doesn't make sense. The AFL is all about maximizing crowds, and they do that. Surely they could have picked another game Geelong played at, at Cadinia Park rather than Essendon in a stadium that is quite frankly at the moment. It's embarrassing when you look at it because they've got, just there's nothing behind the goals. I thought that was a strange decision, but. Nonetheless, Geelong are a real nemesis to us. They really know how to put us to the sword. They've done it regularly over the last 10 years. We've had a few wins, but very much a lot of big losses as well. We'll see the next evolution of this team going up against adversity, going to Geelong on the back of a good win against the Crows.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. It'll be a big challenge, as you say, particularly without a big Flip, because he has been playing some very, very solid football, and without that physicality, which he offers, because even though they might not have the biggest ruck combination, they've got enough big bodies there, James. Like you think of a Radiga Leah, you think, any number of their blokes there. Big units that can run, and it's if Brian does get the nod, which I hope he does, because I certainly wouldn't want to go one out with a Wiedemann or Peter Wright in that ruck battle all day. It'll be a big challenge for him, and he's really got to take it with both hands, as you say. So opportunity awaits, and I guess we'll see what he does with it.
Going back to the Adelaide game, mate, you mentioned Jordan Ridley hyperextended his knee. Now the club has reported there's no structural damage or fears of ACL or anything like that. It was a bone bruising, they're calling it. And they're saying he's a chance to play this week. Not that I'm a medical scientist, but I would say that I'd say that's unlikely, considering how sorry he looked after the game. But as I said, even players like, hopefully Kane Baldwin is fit to play because, you know, he's shown, he's got a bit more size than, and we know what Tom Hawkins did to us last time we played them. It'd be nice to have Lab back this time. And, I think Kelly wasn't there either last time. So, it'd be good. But hopefully for Jordan's sake, that he can be ready for the Bulldogs game the following week. Because he's just so important to us. Even yesterday, you just have so much faith in him to mark the ball. We saw just during the week before we go into the game, there was a story out there surrounding Orazio Fantasia. Now, he has squashed that rumor. The rumor was that he was actively pursuing a role back at Essendon on the playing list. But he kind of squashed that and said, no, he wanted to stay at Port. So I just found that very interesting. Brad Scott was asked about it during his midweek presser. And he basically said, he didn't know anything about it, but he said, if it is true, it says a lot about what the club is now, because you've got to remember the last 10 years hasn't been a fun place.
Yeah.
So anyone that would voluntarily want to go back to a club that they've had bad memories at, it mustn't be that bad. So I thought that was a pretty good statement by him in the mindset. But we don't know where that story came from in a way, because Ratio saying it's not true. So
It came from Scoot McClure.
Oh, of course. Well, now I see why it may be made up.
Yeah, well, yeah, and just like his mate, Caroline Wilson. I was gonna use her other name, Jane, but yeah, maybe not. you get things wrong, and I'm not sure if we've heard an apology from him, Jane.
No.
But it's sort of funny. It's kind of weird, Jane, because you heard during the week as well that he'd spoken to Zach Merritt, and someone reached out to Zach Merritt and said, have you spoken to him? And Zach Merritt said, I'd spoken to him, but I'll leave that stuff to the managers and whatever. And I don't know whether that's rumor as well. I don't know whether they actually did speak to Zach Merritt. But it certainly it kept us fans busy, arguing which way you'd prefer to go. Would you bring him back or not? But look, at the end of the day, it's a non-story by the looks of things.
Yeah, well, he can't even get out in the park, mate. So I loved watching him play in his prime when he was up and about. The old razzle dazzle, if you remember, he referred himself to.
Yep.
But like I said, it sounds like Horatio's got to just focus on getting his body right, and it sounds like it's a real challenge for him. So, as you said, it was probably a non-story, but I thought I'd still bring it up.
Yeah.
Let's go into the Adelaide game, mate. As we said, it was a vital match. Game we just had to win. And, we started very well.
We certainly did, mate. We saw an awesome tackle from Zach Merritt to win the footy. And he handed it straight off to the big red dog, who just launched into a huge kick from outside 50. Bang! Within a minute, we were on the board.
Yeah, that was a ripper kick. We've seen Mason Redmond kick those goals before. But, it's still first kick of the day within about 30 seconds of the game starting. To be able to pull that kick off just shows you how much talent Mason Redmond has.
Yeah.
And just the synergy of the team as well, just the way they, that quick handball release is obviously a play they'd been thinking of when it came off in the game.
Certainly did, mate. And watching that goal, I thought, I don't think he'll be going to Adelaide anytime soon, but that's just the wishful thinker in me.
Yeah.
It was just the attacking intent, right from the get-go that impressed me, Jane. Like we saw Perkins, he'd started off in the middle, make a beautiful hit to 2 metre Peter. Which is great to see. Look, unfortunately, Pete didn't kick the goal, but yeah, excellent intent. You know, within a couple of minutes, to have a couple of shots on goal was great. Yeah, obviously, Adelaide, yeah, wanted to have their say. They had a shot on goal from Tex Perkins at not Tex Perkins, but he Big Tex,
Tex
yeah,
Walker.
Walker, bloody hell, that's yeah, he was offline on that occasion. But I just thought last week, Jane, against Port, we were so fumbly at times. Like, we were getting around the ball, but anytime we looked to be picking off the deck, like, we fumbled it. But, you know, blokes were just picking it up cleanly, like Durham, for one, started off, like, with such clean hands. Yeah, I was getting involved and, yeah, made a beautiful kick. Yeah, got the ball to Parrish, and Parrish just say he split traffic there for a second, Jamie, and hit up Langford beautifully.
Yeah, that was a beautiful piece of play. It was real congestion around the footy, and he's like a little goose step, wasn't it? And he just kind of wiggled out of it and got some space and has bombed it down. It was a great mark by Kyle Langford.
Certainly wasn't to go back and kick the goal from what was he about 40 out, you reckon?
Nice
Yeah,
goal.
beautiful shot. And then yeah, we kept going, and you know, pretty quickly we had another goal, this time through Menzies. Like, we pumped it in long, and you know, Wright did the smart thing of just tapping it over the side to Menzies. He just came you know, waltzing through for the crumb to kick a nice little goal.
Yeah, that was nice play, and again the team seemed in sync, and yeah, just the way that tap was, and Menzies was running through like an express train, right? So yeah, really smart play, and to have those quick three goals was a great start to the game, but Adelaide would quickly answer afterwards.
Yeah, and this one was a bit disappointing, Jane. I thought it was a bit too easy for them. Like, they just sort of yeah, picked a path through us, and whether it was just because we were so wrapped up in our own yeah, attacking success, we forgot about, you know, locking it up. Yeah, with that 666. But yeah, in the end, yeah, Key's got the goal. He's a good player, but yeah, we weren't to be outdone. Yeah, we saw you know, a beautiful bit of play, which actually started on the wing. We saw Wiedemann get involved and give the hands to Hobbs, and he gave it to Perkins. He hopped it over to Martin. And he gave it to Merritt, who from about what 70 out, Jane,
Yeah,
just chucked
60
it on the
by at
boot
least.
and slid it through.
Yeah, it was great. And that was the thing about Zach Merritt. They would love to see him add to his game, is that goal kicking mid. And he's really taken the onus of trying to go for goals this year, I've noticed. And that was a beautiful one, that one.
Certainly was, mate. And yeah, we weren't done. We kept attacking, and there was a nice bit of play where, yeah, Zerit just came, you know, streaming through from that center contest, and you know, seemed to be just weaving through traffic. But then his kick was a bit cute, but it was still to the advantage of Langford, who picked it up, and he kicked it just over the top, and it must have been just on 15 meters, Jane. But yeah, Martin took a nice mark, and he went back and dobbed it.
And gave me great confidence. As I said, this is such an important game for us to come out that way, and just you just held up, help we'd keep it going, because it was just exhilarating football.
Yeah, it certainly was, mate. Yeah, and then yeah, we kept at it, kept attacking and harassing, and we saw a couple of you know, opportunities to turn me to Peter. He had a, yeah, bit of a kick from long range, Jane. Just pump it in long. I didn't mind that. You know, Adelaide had sort of congested our sort of yeah, forward 50 there, and yeah, he's got the range in his leg. So, you know, if you didn't see anything, you know, presenting, why not have the ping if you've got the leg for it? Didn't go through, but you just knew with that intent, the goals would come. Yeah, that's sort of what I felt. And look, there was another opportunity where Langford took the mark and he kicked it to the goal square to Peter Wright. Didn't get it, but it's good intent. And it kept Adelaide guessing because from in short or out long, we were doing pretty well. But unfortunately, we sort of gave him a bit of a I don't know, a relief valve let off. It was a real like we were trying to work it out of our back line, and Zerk just didn't measure the kick as well as he might have to Zach Merritt, and just sailed over his head straight to Adelaide. And they had numbers everywhere, and kicked a fairly easy goal on that occasion. But it's not like we gave up. We have another chance this time to, Peter all right. We'd sort of pumped him long, and he sort of almost had to crumb it. And from about 25 out, yes, in the pocket on a bit of angle, but I still thought it's probably one he could have kicked, Jane. But didn't go through, is what it is. Unfortunately, from that we got opened up pretty quickly, and Adelaide went up the other end and kicked a goal through Fulthorpe.
That was disappointing because we had a lot of the play and just weren't maximizing our chances. And it always comes back to hurt you when the opposition score on the back of that. But thankfully, we answered again through Peter Wright.
We did, mate. It took a nice mark. Which is good to see, and then kicked an even better goal from the pocket. Just excellent stuff.
Very important. And you got a bit of a head scone on that one. Going for the mark, he certainly got a rub of the ears on that, and
He
it was a
did.
nice goal to finish it off.
He did. I have to say, with that play, Jane, like that all started from mine because Adelaide were trying to kick it up their end, and it all started from mine with that strong grab from Ridley, like right on that boundary side wing. Just really stood up, and we worked it from there. So yes, great ball use for the boys, which was excellent to see. We then saw. I mean, it's one of a series, and it's kind of a theme, but just a bit of a gripe of mine, Jane. This whole, not paying the tackles. We saw Rochelle get spun 360 in the tackle, like fairly, but he was still allowed to hand it off. So it sounds like that 360 rule not a thing anymore. And look, I guess it was never really formally if you spin them 360, you'll get the hold of the ball, but that's the way it used to be played. I don't know, it's kind of like for mine, it kind of goes in the face of them saying, no, we need to protect the player and make sure that the tackles are fair and stuff like that. But if you let players get away with that, it's like, okay, well, if I grab them and spin them 360, that's not going to do anything. So I need to bring them to ground. And that's where we get, the unfortunate incidences where, blokes don't mean it a lot of the time. But in the tackle, whether they get them high or whether they hit their head on the deck, I kind of think that could be, at least.
I totally agree with you on that one, mate. Because on one hand, they're saying you can't use a slinging motion to tackle, which we all now understand. But then they won't pay a tackle that, where the player's effectively spun right around and hasn't released the footy. But it's like they're waiting for the player to be dragged to ground. So that's the confusing part, because sometimes the only way you can bring them to ground is the player doesn't want to let go of the footy. So, of course, they come down on their body and, that can be their head. So, I think that should be looked at, especially the messaging around, protecting the head. That should be looked at by the umpires' advisories and something like that, just to try and prevent these really hard slinging tackles.
Yeah, absolutely. And they got a goal of that, Jane. Like he was able to get the footy off and they kicked a goal, and that was followed up very soon after. And you kind of thought, yeah, for the amount of control we had to then allow them to kick a couple of goals was, yeah, a bit disappointing. But then we saw, just a great tackle from Sammy Durham. Just to really arrest some momentum because, yeah, they were back within 10 points, I think, at that stage, James. And I sort of thought, oh, we just need to keep that distance. So great pressure and tackle there from Durham. Then we saw a big clunk from the Weed right on 50. And look, his eyes were darting around, but I was actually hoping he'd have the shot. Because I guess there's less pressure from 50. There's less expectation you'd kick it. And he's in sore need of a goal, James. But he made the smart choice, really, and chipped to the pocket. Durham went up and made a contest of it, punched it down to Guelphy. He grabbed the crumb and bang, another goal.
I want to say it's a really improvement from Matt Guelfi on those snap goals. We know when he started, he was really just a utility. He was played everywhere, a bit of half back on the ball, now forward. He's really made that defensive forward position his own, but he's also worked on his craft of kicking goals. And he's quite, you bank on him now when he gets the ball and snaps it. So, it was a really quick goal as well, like in terms of quick, ball to hand and so forth. So, ball to boot as well. So, really nice goal. And, just it gave us some, a bit more reward for a quarter that started brilliantly. And, well, I think we went up with 16 points up and at quarter time.
I mean, it could have even been a little bit more, James, when Archie Perkins took a mark just outside 50 and had a ping. Unfortunately, he didn't have the leg, but geez, it looked straight for a while there, which would have been nice. But yeah, as you say, James, like to finish that quarter, what are we, 17 points up? So 7 goals, 6, 48 to their 5 goals, 1. Yeah, it was just excellent. Like it was sort of manic from the first minute. Plenty of goals to both sides, but yeah, we were coming out on top.
Yeah, it was, and really nice to see. And we hope that would continue into the second quarter.
So they did, mate. We saw Parrish just grab the ball in the middle of the ground and bomb it long, and it looked good for goal, but the ball sort of, it was like reverse spin, James. It was really slowing down, but luckily Kyle Langford was there and towed it through to make sure of it.
That's right. And again, it was nice to see Darcy pull that kick off. It didn't quite get there for a goal, but like as you said, Kyle Langford did the clean up and made sure it was a goal. So really good play, and our midfield was really dominating.
Certainly were, mate. That kept on being the case. We saw Perkins have a shot on goal, unfortunately missed. But again, you just got to laud the intent. And I thought they were really doing well. Unfortunately, Radelaide took it up their end, and Tex Walker kicked his first. Before Peter Wright, he had a few opportunities. He kicked the one. Unfortunately, missed another one there. But we're still attacking, which was good. Oh, that's right. He hit the post, James. Oh God, because he just thought, oh, he just needs to break the seal. But I thought even before then, like we were showing some really good use of the ball. Like Hobbs was doing some awesome work, like with the stoppages, and unfortunately there'd just be some wasteful kicks, like we saw that kick from Parrish, which went just straight out of bounds on the full, and you thought, oh, I really should have made more of that. There was one where Adelaide were pushing up their end, and Heppel, I don't know if he lost the footy in the lights or something, just needed to mark that. But came to ground, and then Redmond ran onto the footy, but he just wasn't able to collect it. So that's what sort of led to that easy goal to Tex in the end. But then Parrish, he had another great clearance, and Jeezy's hands are good, Jane. Like, and so quick at times. Yeah, he made a that good kick to the advantage of 2 minute Peter for that poster. And then when we tried to attack again, and Adelaide were trying to get it out, there was an awesome smother from Guelphy. Just all over. I had no chance to escape, which gave us that extra opportunity at goal, lock it in there. And we saw Hobsy come in with the clean hands off the deck and kick it through with a snap beautifully.
Yeah, he really worked his way well through that because he kind of cut through, yeah, really congested area, and then really finished well. And yeah, what a great player Ben Hobbs is for such a young man.
Certainly is, mate. Unfortunately, we coughed up another goal to Adelaide.
Yeah,
Then we saw, was
yeah,
that?
Pedler kicked that goal.
Pedlar, yeah. And then we saw Langford make a really nice tackle, but again, just nothing doing, unfortunately. Just can't get a hold of the ball for a kick. And then we saw big flip come through and thought he'd chance his luck at goal, but had a horrible snap at goal, Jane, and just went straight out of bounds on the full. God bless our big ruckman. And then we had a really exciting bit of play where moved it nicely up the ground. And then Parrish had the footy, and we seemed to be totally out. But then another rubbish kick, Jane, like a real grubber, really to lose the footy. But to his credit, he followed up in his work and he won the footy back for us. And kicked it nicely to Martin, who popped it over to Kelly. And our backman, Jane, after Lav last week. Kelly thought he'd get in the action and kicked a nice goal.
Yeah, it's a really nice goal, and I wasn't expecting to see Jake Kelly kick a goal, and I'm sure it would have made it even more special against his old team. So, nice goal from him.
Bloody oath, mate. And then we saw some great defending from the boys when Adelaide were really coming hard at us, and then we saw some really nice ball movement up the wing to get the ball to the hands of Jake Stringer, who hit 2 metre Peter beautifully in the goal square. It was just a really clever kick, Jane. And look, after a few siders at goal, 2 metre Peter did the right thing, went back and slaughtered
And it was his second goal. He had 2 goals, 3 at that point. And as you said, that kick from Stringer, last year Stringer would have had a chance, shot at that goal,
it.
but that was deliberate. That pulled kick that Peter Wright landed right on his chest, really. And even though there's a bit of body contact with the Adelaide players, he couldn't have hit the ball, much better against a pack of Adelaide players. So really nice way of teamwork there, maximizing it.
Absolutely. Let me do another nice bit of play. This time, Wiedemann had a really nice kick to get Stringer one out, which is nice. Unfortunately, weren't able to make much of the opportunity to go. But then, as Adelaide tried to work it out, we saw Menzies come through with a huge tackle. And he was rewarded on this occasion and went back and kicked the goal.
Yeah, 2 goals to Menzies in the first half, but that's a great sign, when your small forwards are kicking goals. So, yeah, really good. And then our other small forward, he nearly had a ping as well.
Yeah, he did, mate. We Mac Guelphy got involved. Unfortunately, wasn't able to kick it through. But I did have to say before that, Jane, there was some awesome work from Jake Kelly on the wing. He was almost one on two at times, and to just beeline that footy and make sure it didn't get out, because Adelaide were out if they won that footy. And I just thought that was really good from Kelly just to fight that out. We saw another from Zach Merritt, like a just another great tackle in the middle there, which got that opportunity for Guelphy to hit up forward. And I just thought, our pressure and intent yeah, for the half, let alone the quarter, was excellent to see. And we saw Adelaide again try to get the footy out of their 50, and Durham just turned around and took a nice intercept mark. Which was awesome to see. Look, unfortunately, we didn't make more of those opportunities, but like we had like a good 3 to 4 minute patch. We just kept pushing and pushing, and like even though Adelaide was sort of holding up like defensively, it was just exciting to see us being on the like the controlling end. Really making Adelaide have to scramble for everything. So look, would have been lovely to have another couple of goals, but I thought like the work from our boys to stop Adelaide from scoring in those last couple of minutes when they were bombing in at their end, as well as not only maintaining but stretching the lead a bit for the half, to go in at half time leading by what 37, so 12-9, 81 to their 7-2, 44 was was a great feeling, Jane.
Yeah, and like, to kick 81 by half time, and that's some scoreline, it's a massive score at half time. So it was played almost like a shootout, wasn't it? In that both teams were rolling forward and really pushing hard when they had the ball forward, and they were getting caught out the back when defensively the ball moved. So it left you open a little bit, but I just thought that. Yeah, we were much better at that, and you wondered what would happen with Adelaide. Obviously, they'd be really disappointed with their first half. So you kind of expected them to come out and be a bit more competitive, and that's the way it started.
They're good, mate. To start them off, like we didn't do much wrong defensively, but Rankin, he's a very crafty forward, James. He got to the end of the footy and kicked a nice goal in the opening minute for them. Which just gave him half a sniff, but the boys, they kept at it, and we saw Heppel like had it make a really nice tackle, which is great to see. But then unfortunately, that's where we saw Rids go to the contest in the middle of the ground and just hyperextended that knee, and it was pretty worrying, Jane, because he looked pretty proper, and you thought, oh no, like not at this stage of the year. Like I mean, not at any stage of the year, but he looked really downcast, and you sort of when the players get that look in their eyes, you sort of think, oh, this look or could be serious, now, fortunately, later on he did come back on, but he just spent a bit of time with the docs downstairs. And then we saw a really nice hit from Langford to 2 metre Peter Jane. Weren't able to make more of it, but we're getting plenty of chances. We saw shots on goal to Stringer and even a rushed one from Andy McGrath, Jane, which is good. The boys kept plugging away, and after a couple of missed shots, so Adelaide unfortunately kicked one before we were able to sort of get a bit of play. And I think this quarter, Jam, really it could have gone badly for us, because as I said, like we had the injury to Rids, Redmond was coming off from time to time. Looked to have a bit of a suspect hammy. And Adelaide were just, swarming us, really. So it was, it could have been pretty scary, but I thought the boys were really holding up.
Yeah, they could. And I don't know if we did we mention Guelphy's goal from about so right on 50.
Oh, not yet, no.
Because I think that was a bit earlier in the game, like after the Rankin goal, he kicked that goal from after being hit up around the 50 mark. And I wondered if he had the leg for that. But he certainly showed that he did. And then the ball went obviously at the back end of that quarter, as you said, Adelaide had most of the possession. And most of the attacking position going forward in the third quarter. But when we got Peter Wright's third goal, we actually were in front at the quarter, had won that quarter by 1 point.
Yeah, that was huge. And it was great to see the boys just fought it out all quarter. Like we weren't just going to go, oh, Jesus, it's getting a bit hard. So I thought that was fantastic. And like so many defensive efforts, like there was some great desperation from Durham, like one to stop one sort of right on the goal line. Basically, I thought like Heppel and Durham particularly, like with Ridley, sort of looking out injured, like some blokes had to stand up. And, I thought Durham and Heppel in particular, as well as Martin, he was doing a lot of work defensively. Which is good. We didn't let them have the easy shots at goal. There was an opportunity there. I thought Lav sort of half made a tackle, but they got it through. But fortunately, he got a hand on the footy. And I'll tell you what, James, you wouldn't have seen this at the ground, but when they did the score review for that shot, and they said, oh, look, I think he's touched it. Just, have a look at it. When the decision came through, there was just a panning of the camera to the Essendon faithful to see what we thought of the decision. And there was this bloke standing up, just the two fingers, the Adelaide just, that's what we thought of that effort. Maybe a bit uncouth, but I thought, summed up my thoughts.
That's great. I did wonder, it's hard to tell from the ground because like obviously you're looking up at a scoreboard and fortunately it looked like there was a deviation. I think the umpires said over the PA.
Mm-hmm.
So nice to have a bit of desperation to stop the opposition.
That's it. And talking of desperation, there's no one more desperate at times than Zerk Thatcher. Look, when they kept bombing in long, I thought Zerk was huge to thwart a number of attempts, like with a few fists out. And then he took a huge grab to stop another one of their forays forward. And there were a number of times, Jane, where Zerk, he just left his man at the right time to affect either, to take a mark or to affect a spoil. He's really impressing me with, I suppose, his ability to read the game and know when to go. Because certainly we've seen in the past, with Zerk, but, many young defenders as well, where, they don't time it right or they leave, but then they don't affect the spoil. But he's, shown himself to be quite reliable down there, which is great. Heppel was huge. Like during that quarter, Jane, that third quarter, he had like 12 or 13 touches of the footy alone. Man. And then we saw Perkins get a shot at goal after that nice hit from Langford. Unfortunately, didn't have the leg for it and it was rushed through. And then we got Heppel, he'd been doing that work down back, and then he had the footy in the middle of the ground, kicked it to the top of the square, and 2 meter Peter was good enough to come up, clunk it, turn around, and kick the bloody goal.
Yeah, that was fantastic, and we kind of needed it because it just felt like Adelaide were having a lot more opposition. A lot more opportunities, and I just felt we'd squandered a few, especially early in the game.
Yeah,
it was nice to get make the most of the opportunities when we got them.
Absolutely, it mate, and for Adelaide, it must have been just so deflating for them because like they threw everything at us, Jane, but. Through that goal from 2 meter Peter, we'd won the quarter. And it has to be said, like it's not like they relented in the last couple of minutes. We needed some big efforts again from Heppel, and then Zach Merritt made a huge tackle to stop another effort from them. So like for all the control they had, we didn't let them take the advantage, which is really good signs, and we ended up finishing that quarter 38 points up 14 goals, 13, 97 to their 9 goals, 5, 59.
Yeah, and into the last quarter would go. It felt like we had enough to hold on. But as we found out, Adelaide weren't going to lie down for us.
They weren't, mate. They kept coming at us. But it was us that drew first blood, as the great Sylvester Stallone said. It was an awesome tackle from Snelling on Miller. And then, beautiful kick from Zach Merritt to 2 meter Peter. I just couldn't take it. But look, we locked it in, and then we saw a nice pass from Martin to Stringer, who took a great mark. And as you said, Jane, kicked that brilliant goal from about 45 meters out, I reckon, right on the boundary. Like he actually, it was a bit of a Billy Elliot goal, Jane. Like he was outside of the line when he kicked it. Just beautiful.
Yeah, that was a lovely goal. And, Jake had been pretty quiet, done a few good team things, but as you said, he had low disposals on the game, but he's still capable of doing something like that.
That is, mate. Then unfortunately we were, we got had a big penalty against us for that stand rule, Jane. And it's 50 metres. I just kind of think, look at that. At that end of the ground, it's so painful. So I made a certainty of that goal to Adelaide. Then we saw Perkins make another huge tackle, and again should have been gone, but just wasn't given. Won the footy back though, and Jake had half a chance. He really come blistering out of that pack and chucked on the left for a shot, but unfortunately, just didn't go through the sticks on that occasion. And we saw Adelaide come through and start to threaten again. You saw goals to Keys and then Rankin. You sort of thought, oh, geez, come on. Let's not give it up now. But the boys steadied up. We saw another beautiful smother, this time from Hobbs. Like, just excellent work. We saw some nice ball movement from the halfback up to the wing to Stringer. But unfortunately, his kick to Zach Merritt was a bit of a grubber. So coughed up an opportunity there. Again, another missed opportunity. This time, Parrish just miskicked it to Shield in the middle and sort of opened us up. But luckily, they missed. We saw Caldwell come through with a really nice tackle. But unfortunately, he won the footy and then proceeded to kick it straight to an Adelaide player with no Essendon jumpers around him. So I think he just got, I don't know, whether he just confused the jumpers or something like that for a second there. Before we saw some great work from Menzies to keep the ball going our way. Just a smart little tap over the top to keep the ball going forward against a couple of Adelaide defenders. And we saw Redmond grab the footy, kick that long bomb for Langford to Crummett and kick a nice goal to keep that bit of breathing space, Jane.
Yeah, and much needed, I felt. Not that I had concerns we were going to lose the game, but just to, kind of deflate Adelaide because they obviously had belief. That was nice to get a bit of breathing room.
Was, mate, and we got a bit more soon after when we pumped in long. We saw a big weed fly for the contest, and 2 meter Peter applied some good forward pressure. And Caldwell ended up grabbing the footy and gave the hands out to Martin, who kicked it through nicely.
Yeah, it was a nice goal by Martin. What a pickup he's been, and he's just such an important player.
It is, mate. Unfortunately, we saw Tex Walker kick another. We did see a bit of play where Parrish grabbed the footy out of the middle of the ground, kicked it forward, and saw Langford try to get the footy and nearly bloody kicked goal of the year, Jane. Like, he was right in that pocket there, and it sort of looked good off the boot, but obviously went straight across the face for out of the full. But it would have been pretty exciting. But unfortunately, so Sloane kick a goal, which was quickly followed up by Murphy in the end to just drag that 30-point lead we had, back to the what 18 points in the end. But that finished the game for us with the siren going, and we won the game by that 18 points. So 17 goals, 13, 115 to their 15 goals, 7, 97.
Yeah, as we said at the start of the pod, mate, such an important win to be able to seal that, and a very good Bomber crowd, I should say. As I was driving into the game, mate, I heard over the radio, the game was actually sold out. So, and there was just so much Bomber presence. Like, obviously, you expect that when you play Adelaide, but I mean, the fans seem engaged. Like, it wasn't just they're in there, like that really added to the feeling of the game. And I'm sure Adelaide, would have felt like a baptism of fire for them, coming to Melbourne, seeing so many parochial Essendon supporters, really giving the club energy and cheering hard for them. So,
Yeah, bloody
fantastic win by the boys.
oath. It certainly was. And I think the biggest thing for mine, Jane, was just the way we controlled the game. Like, despite, Adelaide being a pretty quick going scoring side where they need to be, just the way we controlled it didn't allow them to get a run on. We actually had like 100 more disposals of them for the game, so 425 to their 326. And then outside of that, I mean, stats were, fairly comparable, no big wins either way. It just our marking presence around the ground, the way we sort of controlled the footy there. So, it was just a complete performance from the boys. And Brad Scott couldn't have been prouder.
Excellent win. It moved us up to fifth on the ladder, mate, which by the end of round 17 to be fifth is nothing to scoff at. It's a fantastic effort. Now, it sounds great, but unfortunately we're in this position where there's such a log jam of teams behind us that you can be fifth 1 week and out of the eight the next. So that's how tight the ladder is. So to hold that spot, you'd have to keep moving up. But certainly been a lot more fun to go to the footy this year than it was last year. All the boys seem so committed to one another and wanting to do so well. Having a coach that clearly came in with a mantra of development, and that was the most important thing to him. He wasn't chasing the sugar hit, as he said, where you just get those wins on the back of emotion, but no real process. That's not what he's about. Apparently, to win the job, mate, he told them that if you want a quick fix, I'm not your guy. I'm someone that I'm a development coach. So look, where we are, today won't be where we finish. So, that's his main real emphasis is the continual improvement of each and every player.
Yeah, and I think we're really seeing that, Jane, as we talked about earlier with the likes of Hobbs, Caldwell, Perkins getting opportunities in the centre there. And we're seeing other blokes like Heppel. I think he's playing his best footy, for years. Really, obviously, McGrath, cementing that spot down back rather than moving in from here and there around the ground. Plenty of blokes are playing out of their skin. Zerk Thatcher, I think, has been playing really well. So there's plenty of blokes that put out their hands to wear the jump with pride, which is great to see. And just quickly on that point, Jane, where you say that's that sort of log jam, for wins and percentage, on the ladder there. It shouldn't be forgotten that the results kind of went our way, but it was on us to get the victory to allow us to go up to fifth. Where we saw the loss of the Dogs, I think it was. That one went our way. But at the end of the day, if we keep winning games of footy, Jane, it takes the like we have things in our hands rather than having to rely on the outcome of other games, and that's definitely where you want to be. Yes, we've got some pretty tough games coming up, but look, I'm going to back the boys in to give it their all. Each and every game, and that game gave me some quiet confidence that that we'll be in the eight come September.
Yeah, well, they say the magic number's 13, mate, to win the or to make the finals at least. So, we're at 9 wins, 7 losses, and we've got games coming up against Geelong in Geelong. So, I want you to grade them for me. What, on the, on what you think will happen. Would you, is it safe to say we both think Geelong might be too tough a task this week?
Yeah, pretty
Yeah.
pretty tough game. We just don't match up on them very well. Particularly if we if Lav's out, we just don't have those big bodies down back. But
You
who
mean
knows?
Ridley, isn't it?
Oh, really, my apologies.
Yeah,
So we'll see how we go. But yeah, it'd be a pretty tough task, I have to say.
The Dogs on Friday night after that.
Look, that's winnable. You'd think we should be in the a good shot there.
Back at Marvel, both teams played Marvel well. I think we're more than a chance against the Dogs. I think we follow that up with a game against Sydney, I think it may be. You'd think at Marvel again that we should be able to beat Sydney. We then go on to West Coast in Melbourne. So, I think it's safe to say we'll be warm favourites there, mate. We then go on and play North Melbourne. So I think that's a game, like, even though most people say we'll definitely win that. Don't forget, North get themselves up for that game. They really hate losing to us, and they won't be a rollover. You'll have to win it, but you think on the probabilities, we should win that game. And then you start to round out. So you've got GWS over there, mate, which could be a tough tussle because they've really come good, GWS. They've especially seen a massive improvement. And I think we play Collingwood in the last round. Is that all the games? I think it is.
That's it, man.
Yeah. So we need to win. If we're 9 and 7 and they say you need 13, you need to win 4 of them. So to me, I think we can, we should be trying to really, beat Sydney, West Coast, and North. They're the three games you've got to win. That you're clearly better. And then you just have to win one game if you want to just make the eight out of Geelong, Bulldogs, GWS, and Collingwood. Now, if you can somehow win a couple of those games, you might even be a chance to move up the ladder a little bit further. But I guess that's all to play out. But first things first, a tough game in Geelong against Geelong. And as you say, mate, we don't match up well against them. They're obviously got a lot more experience, but I'm still excited for the game because I just know that the club will give its all to represent us well.
Yeah, bloody hell, they will.
All right, let's have a break. We'll come back. We had some exciting news about the VFLW competition in their first week of the finals. And we'll also come back with By the Numbers and the Don's Cast Medal Votes. And you're listening to Don's Cast. Mate, VFLW news. Our girls were involved in a final against was it Box Hill Hawks?
Was, mate. Yep, the old rivals. Yeah, certainly had some battles with them over the last couple of years. Yeah, to get the chocolates over there was beautiful.
Yeah, and so it takes us into a big game against the Pies, I think it is, on is it Saturday or Sunday, that game?
Saturday night, 1 p.m. at Vic Park, I think it is. Yeah, which is, yeah, it should be excellent. I mean, Collingwood finished up first of the ladder to our fifth. So, I mean, not that they had like hugely bigger, you know, wins and loss ratio, but, yeah, it still be a pretty big challenge, yeah, for the girls. But, look, against the Hawks, they, yeah, led from the front and, yeah, kept themselves in front for the whole game, which is, yeah, really, really pleased to see to come out 10-point victors there. So ended up kicking the 4 goals 7-31 to their 3 goals 3-21. And, yeah, it seems like it was a pretty evenly spread team effort, yeah, which is excellent to see.
Yeah, so that's really, you know, we shouldn't we should know as Essendon fans how hard it is to win finals. So it's a really good achievement by the VFLW team to win that.
Certainly is, and yeah, congrats to Travis Cloak for you know, his first season to score up that that finals win, which is excellent. I mean, like he, because we have to remember the amount of change we had, yeah, from the VFLW obviously going to the AFLW program, but yeah, VFLW in itself, like we sort of lost Brennan Major and yeah, obviously some players got picked up along the way to other sides, and like the list is fairly different, but you know what we're building is yeah, it's yeah, really good to see. And yeah, despite the slow start to the year, they've really fought their way back into contention. And yeah, to come up against the Pies, yeah, I'm sure they'll give it their all, and let's hope they can knock off yeah, that mob.
Now, of course, our VFL men's team didn't play this week, so they had the weekend off. So, have you got their fixture next week, mate?
The
question without notice?
No, I don't, unfortunately. I'll have a quiz to see if I can bring it up. But
I'll do my best impersonation of filling the airways. But no, I was interested because you know, on the back of last game, you know, we had exciting performances from Elijah Sardis. Also, Waller had a big game. You know, I'm not sure what the plans are. You know, I'd love to see Waller back in the side at some stage. I think he could be a great super sub. You know, I could see him really making an impact. So yeah, hopefully that's to come. And you know, with the way Wiedemann's playing at the moment, you know, I know Brad Scott's been so strong supporting him, but yeah, if I'm Pat Voss, I'll try and break into the side. You know, just, you know, he's been a really good player for the VFL team, but I still reckon he's got another level to go to. And yeah, I'd make it hard on the selectors, and you know, just keep trying hard to, you know, bang that door down and get your opportunity. Because, you know, he certainly sounds like he's a little bit more deserving considering, you know, on the output of Weeds. But as I said, Brad Scott's been very strong on his support with Sam Wiedemann, and let's hope it pays off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for our VFL side, James, so they've got Geelong at GMHBA on the Sunday at 2 p.m.
Another Sunday game, mate. Gee, how many
Sunday game?
How many Sunday games do we play?
Oh, well, I mean, we kind of made the rod for our own back, and obviously with the the fixtures as they are now, where you know if you're like a linked VFL side to an AFL, you've got to play around that time just to allow that extra bit of space for, subs and injuries and all the rest of it. So they're a bit of a victim to the system there, because of them, they've got to follow that up with a Friday night game against Williamstown on the Friday next week. So, yeah, a couple of big challenges. Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see how they go. As you say, plenty of blokes will be wanting to, earn the selectors' favour to hopefully get a call up to the seniors in weeks to come. So, it's all for them to play. And as Brad Scott said in his presser, like there's plenty of match selection pressure for him and the other coaches, but they're good pressures to have.
It's always good sign with good depth. A lot of our depth is a bit unknown, in that, they're quite young, haven't got real proven senior level experience, but players like Nick Cox and Elijah Sardis and these kind of players, Pat Voss, they're still waiting for their regular opportunities in the seniors, especially under Brad Scott. So eventually they will get into the side, but it's just going to have to be a bit of development in that VFL team before they go on to better and brighter things, hopefully.
See.
Let's go by the numbers, mate. We start with Andy McGrath, and I thought he was really good on the night, or the
He was,
day,
mate.
really.
Yeah, he was, mate. Like particularly like across that back line, helping the switch of play. His kicking was actually, quite good on the night, I thought. Now, he actually went at 87%, which is great to see. Obviously, he had plenty of intercept possessions, he had six intercepts as well as five score involvement. So, did it at both ends. 31 possessions, which is great. I'm not sure if it was a shot on goal, but it went towards goal anyway, off his boot. But unfortunately, didn't go through. But did have a goal assist, so that nice kick that set up a goal there, which is great to see. So I thought he had quite a good game.
Yeah, and it's great to see him more settled. He knows where he's playing each week. And we're not seeing as many kicks around the shoulder that used to, lead to many goals to the opposition. That seems to have been something that's really been drilled out of him, which is really important. Darcy Parrish, I thought, really good. He's had a few games back now, but the 39 disposals, 18 kicks, 21 handballs, six marks, three tackles. Nearly kicked the goal, mate. Kyle Langford just cleaned it up on the line, but he was really good. And even though, he can shank the footy a bit and pull it, make some clangers, but his hands and are just so strong and clean around the footy, but also quick releasing handballs. He's just he's such an invaluable player to us.
He is, mate. As you say, like clean hands off the deck, and just the way he hunts the footy, is excellent. Look, he 600 meters gain, so that tells you not only is he getting the ball off the deck and a funnel out, but actually getting some good meterage for us to get some attacking thrust. And I did bemoan quite a few clangers off his boot on the day, but he did make some really nice passes as well. Like that one to set up Langford for his first was just a beautiful kick. So look, obviously he's got the capacity to make some good kicks, but we'd just like to see more of that. But look, honestly, like he worked really hard, had the eight score involvements, 13 contested possessions. Was all over the ground, really, like in the middle, up forward, down back, just bloody everywhere. So it's great to see him back. Good to see him get some good touch, and a really good game overall.
Kyle Langford continued his goal kicking fortune in that he kicked three goals straight, and 12 disposals and 12 kicks, mate. So no handballs. And we'll have to call him KB soon, mate. But no, five marks, and one tackle. So really good game from Kyle to kick three goals. And he's just what a player he is to us. In lieu of Sam Wiedemann not being able to kick a goal last 6 weeks, mate.
Yeah.
It's been important that Langford's been able to provide a target with Peter Wright, and it's made it like a two prong forward. Where the players have got some strong hands waiting for the footy.
Yeah, that's it, mate. And decent kick as well, which is excellent. I thought he played a really solid game. Without being amazing, but like it wasn't just his three goals himself, but also set up that nice goal as well to was it Guelphy or Menzies?
Yeah.
I've forgotten now. But he had another really solid game. And look, at the end of the day, over the course of the season, he's kicked, 32 goals or something like that, Jane? Which is pretty good going. Particularly when he started the season down back, if you remember, Jane.
Yeah, that's right. Brad Scott said, I want to find a spot that he can really settle in.
Mm.
I think he's probably suited to play down back.
Yeah.
That lasted about a quarter, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, he's taken the opportunity to be a target up forward and playing it well. So I thought he had a pretty good game.
Yeah, Jai Caldwell, not as much of the footy as he has been getting, but he's still like a workman horse. He's still got 20 disposals, 11 kicks, 9 handballs, 2 marks, 8 tackles, mate. So he's just ferocious. And, again, he's one of those players that can shank a footy. He's known for clangers at times. But he's also got this other side to him where he's brilliant. He can really use the ball well. So, he's just, and people have got to remember he's only 22. So, he's got a long way to go in his career, and it's exciting times, to be a Bomber fan.
Certainly is, mate. I thought he had another solid contribution, Jane. Just his work in the centre was really good to see. Like, those 5 clearances was really good. Had a goal assist, which is good. He certainly gets involved in enough contests, but it's just his ball use at times, like going up 50%, which just frankly isn't good enough at the level. But he does work bloody hard, Jane. Of his 20 possessions, 11 of those were contested. So, had to work bloody hard to win the footy. But as you say, Jane, like only 22, so plenty of time for him to continue to develop. And I reckon he played a pretty solid game overall.
Our captain Zach Merritt has been really astonishing. He's always been a good player, mate. We've never doubted that.
Yeah,
but his ferocity at the tackle, it's unreal to watch. You can just see he just goes at full speed to tackle. And the opposition really just deer in the headlights, they just catches them. So he had 39 disposals, 21 kicks, 18 handballs, 7 marks, and 6 tackles. A wonderful game.
He did, mate.
And a goal.
And a bloody nice goal of that. Yeah, 70 metres out, if you don't mind. But he just continues to impress week in, week out, Jamie. And it's not like the other teams don't know about him. Certainly, whenever they get an opportunity, roughhouse him a bit. They take that, but he's never been the type that sort of takes him out of a game. He continues to work bloody hard. Had the 7 score involvements in the end, as well as 5 of his possessions. So he won the footy back for us on a number of occasions. Quite a number of times we've talked about like the tackles and his nice kicks to set blokes up in better positions. But just his linking play, and he really seems to be commanding the side well, like as the captain, to say, come on, boys, get around me, and let's do it all together, and everyone's buying in. So I think, despite his nearly 40 possessions, despite his nearly 700 metres gained by himself, it's that leadership and ability to get the boys up week in, week out, which is really impressing me. So I thought a really good game from Zach Merritt.
Yeah, he certainly found his calling as the captain of Essendon Football Club. So, well done, Zach. continuing on, and he's really climbing up the AFLPA coaches votes, or the coaches votes. I think he's in the top five, mate. So, it's unfortunate he can't win a Brownlow because of the suspension he got, from that sling tackle.
Mm.
But he's certainly drawing a lot of praise from, Nathan Buckley today. Really gave him a really good observation that, he really thinks he's one of the best captains in the AFL now. So not bad in your first year as being the captain.
Bloody oath.
Ben Hobbs, I love this player. Look, he probably didn't have as much of the footy as previous weeks, now that Parrish is back and playing a lot more in the midfield. But he still had 20 disposals, 11 kicks, 9 handballs, 2 marks, 3 tackles, and a goal. So he's just going to get better and better. And, I'm really looking forward to it. Like, again, he went at 60% with the usage. Mm. So there's room for improvement. But I think that's on the back of how contested it was at times. It's real, a lot of hack kicks out of there. So, Ben Hobbs, so exciting watching this guy develop in front of our eyes.
Certainly is, mate. And I thought particularly, that first half and, a bit through the third, when the game was really on, he was everywhere. It kind of surprises me that he's only got the 20 disposals, because I thought in terms of impact, he had a much bigger role than what the stat sheet shows up with. And, like, as you say, like with his tackling, like he tackles to hurt Jan, which is great. His work in the centre clearances was brilliant. Like, had the six clearances in the guts there. So I think, like, for a 19-year-old kid getting thrown in the middle, and obviously he's well built for a young bloke, but still was 19 years old, holding his own in there against some pretty bloody good midfielders. You got Sloan, Keys, all sorts of blokes in there running around for Adelaide. So I thought he did, really well. To like have that amount of like contested positions, like 11 contested. So he was having to win the ball and then fight hard to keep it going our way. So I thought he had a really good game, Jane. But again, I think his impact on the game is more than the stat sheet reads out, particularly when you think of he only played 65% of game time, Joe. So, once he gets a bigger fitness base, watch out.
He's improving all the time. As we move on, we go to Dylan Scheel, who was the sub again, mate. So now we saw he didn't have much impact last week as a sub in his quarter of footy.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe because of the VFL team not playing, they probably wanted to get some more footy into him, but didn't want to chuck him in the starting 18,
yeah,
or the starting 22. Starting
22. Yeah.
Mm. So he kind of had to earn his spot, but they gave him another quarter, and he found a little bit more of it this week than he did last week. He got 6 disposals, but they were largely ineffective, mate. And 2 kicks, 4 handballs, and 1 mark in that quarter.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty average game, but you kind of get where the coach is coming from, because him at his best can be really effective for us. So you can see why the coaches want to get some run into him, because realistically you can train as hard as you want, but it's not the same as playing a game of footy. So at least to get a bit of game time into him was good. Look, ineffective for mine, but look, I do think it's the right choice to get some game time into him. Certainly he'd want to lift his output from there, which I'm sure he'll do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he makes the starting 22 this week against Geelong.
Mm.
With Geelong being bigger bodies, I can see them wanting to have Scheel in the side from the centre bounce. So it'll be interesting to see if he's earned enough credits in the bank to get back in that 22. Now, Sam Wiedemann, as I said, a 6-game without a goal. Just had the six disposals, two kicks, four handballs, three marks, two hitouts. He did do a little bit of ruck work. He's basically the alternate ruckman to Andrew Phillips. But look, another game where he did a couple of things that set up forward thrust and so forth. But I think we'd expect a little bit more output than what we're getting.
Oh yeah, definitely. Look, he did get involved in the game a little bit. I'm sure he got lauded from the coaches, but we do need more from him, Jane. Like you're a forward, we need you to present and kick goals as a forward. But look, I think he done some nice things. Certainly a much better performance than we've seen in the last couple of weeks. But he'd want to get moving pretty quickly. Otherwise, as you say, Voss in the VFL will be banging down that door to get his opportunity. So, let's hope he lifts from here, Jane.
Yeah. Will Snelling, I think he'd be a little bit disappointed with his output as well. He just had the 10 disposals. So three kicks, seven handballs, and three tackles. So, he's not on there to get large possessions. But, I just think he could be a little bit more impactful as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he done some nice things, made some nice tackles. Got involved in a little bit of link-up play. But as you say, like, you'd want a little bit more from him. Because certainly, even though he was hitting targets and stuff like that, it's not like he was pulling off any miraculous kicks or, anything that made you go, wow, that was really good, apart from a tackle or two, which I thought was quite good. He's definitely one who he'd be looking over his shoulder because you've got the likes of, Sardis, who's banging down the door, Jane, averaging at least high 20s, if not 30s, disposals-wise in the VFL, as well as a number of other blokes who be looking for an opportunity. So, he played okay, but certainly didn't star on the day.
Yeah, and hopefully Will Setterfield is starting to make some progress from that foot injury. Mm. It's hard to believe, mate, he got injured in round 9. Mm. It's now round 18 coming up. So, what everyone thought was a 3-week injury has turned into a 9-weeker at the moment. That's with a bye in between. So almost 10 weeks. So, hopefully we see some improvement there because he was really impactful at the start of the season. Jordan Ridley, unfortunately we saw him hyperextend his knee. Again, he was playing a really good game, taking some really important defensive marks. He at the stage he got injured and went off, he was 16 disposals, 12 kicks, four handballs, five marks, and one tackle. So, yes, hopefully Jordan can get up for the game. Like they said, at this stage they're hopeful. I think it's more likely that, it'll probably be against the Bulldogs the following week.
Yeah, and I think that'd probably be the safest course of action. Obviously, we're not the medicos and we don't know the full extent, but if there's a doubt, you'd kind of rather at this stage of the season just play it cautiously, which has sort of been the mantra. And Brad's got set up for the long term rather than hope for the short. So in terms of the game though, I thought he played a really good game. I thought he was really shutting out. Like when it was his turn to go on a Tex Walker, he got out in front, either got the mark in front of him or punched it out. Was really not allowing Adelaide to have easy entries. Like they were getting the ball in plenty, Jane, but they were Zerk and Kelly and all the rest of it were punching it out pretty effectively. So I thought he played a really good game. Shame to see him get injured, but let's hope it won't keep him out for long.
Yeah, Jaden Laverty, he was, again, an important player for us. His strength and, his way of, taking intercept marks and so forth, he had 20 disposals, which is quite high for Jaden. 10 kicks, 10 handballs, and 6 marks. So a pretty good game from Jaden, I thought.
Yeah, it was, Jane. Yeah, really good defensive efforts. There were a couple of tackling efforts, though, Jane, which I thought left a bit to be desired. Mind you, it was against, you know, the likes of Tex Walker and yeah, some other of their bigger bodies. But I just thought, you know, for the strength that Lav has to have zero tackles down there when the ball was yeah, coming in thick and fast, I think that's one area of the game he needs to work at. But defensively, it was really sound. Yeah, didn't allow any easy ball in. Yeah, was clean enough for the footy. Yeah, good hands as always. So yeah, I thought he played a pretty good game.
Yeah, exactly. And again, his presence will be even more important this week against the big Geelong forwards. You know, Jeremy Cameron most likely coming in as well. So we certainly need him out there. A player that you know, probably got one of his highest possession totals of the season was Archie Perkins. Played a lot inside, you know, in the centre square, and you know, had 24 disposals, 11 kicks, 13 handballs, 6 marks, and 6 tackles, which is fantastic from Archie. And you know, because yeah, there was times where we thought he's a little bit too offensive of a player, who you know, was an impact player, but you know, didn't have that defensive side to him. He's really changed that, and you know, he's really earned his spot in that midfield.
Certainly did, mate. I thought it was a fantastic game from Archie Perkins. Yeah, and like his running has obviously developed quite a lot. Like he played in that midfield there, as you said, Dan, played 82% of game time. And I thought he actually helped out the defenders on quite a number of occasions. Obviously snuck forward a couple of times as well, and had a couple of pings at goal, that one from outside 50, which is always going to be a bit of a stretch. And that that second one didn't go through, but I like the attacking mindset. But yeah, those tackles, like he really yeah, went at Adelaide, and I thought he's you know, we sort of mentioned yeah, a year or two ago, James, he wasn't the quickest bloke off the mark, but he seems to have done a mountain of work on his speed work, James. Because he had a, like, not a huge amount of toe, but was able to close with the space, you know, when going after the opposition. So I thought, yeah, it was a really good, mature game from Archie Perkins. So I thought he had a, yeah, pretty good impact on the night.
Another player that had a lot of impact on the night was Peter Wright. Yeah, it could have been more, really. He kicked 3 goals, 3, 19 disposals, 11 kicks, 8 handballs, 8 marks. And, you know, after those 2 weeks against, you know, Freo and Port, where he, you know, hardly got his hands on the ball, it was great to see him a lot more impactful on the night.
It was, mate. And, yeah, those 8 marks were huge. Like, would have been huge for his confidence to go, yep, I've still got it kind of thing. And, yeah, to kick a few was nice. Look, yeah, would have loved him to kick more, but, yeah, they were pretty tough chances. But you just had the feeling from the start, Jane, that, look, he might have missed those first ones, but you just knew it was going to come for him. Like, at no stage did he drop his head and go, oh, geez, it's not working out for me today. He just kept coming at the footy, leading, presenting, and, yeah, to walk away with a few goals, you'd always be happy with that.
Yeah, it was a really good effort. Dyson Heppel continued his, you know, upward trending form, I thought, you know, with 25 disposals, 16 kicks, 9 handballs, 9 marks, and 5 tackles. Again, that's a higher up margin for Dyson. And, yeah, I thought even, like, with his use of the footy at 84%, you know, really good stuff. And, you know, what a revival he's had.
How's, mate? Yeah, I thought, you know, when the whips were cracking and yeah, Adelaide were really coming for us, he was one who really stood up. Yeah, commanded that back line and yeah, took a number of marks which thwarted their opportunities forward. To lay those tackles, yeah, it was huge. Some of them really strong tackles, and yeah, to arrest the momentum when they were coming for us was huge. Obviously, had a goal assist as well when he did float towards the forward line there, which is great to see. But just the way he stood up and yeah, in the absence of Ridley and when someone needed to play a role down there, he did his all, and I thought he played a really good game of the night.
Sam Durham, I thought he was really good as well. Didn't have high possessions, but look, I'll tell you one thing that, being live at the game, his speed off that first one or two steps, he just builds up speed so quickly, and really puts pressure on the opposition. I was watching that on the game on the Sunday, and just the way that he could accelerate so quickly and put pressure on the players as they picked up the ball was, really impressive. So he had like the 17 disposals, 9 kicks, 8 handballs, 4 marks, and 5 tackles. Again, a high margin. Usually it's one or two tackles only. So really good that he's got those tackle numbers up and really put pressure on the ball carrier.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Jam. And if you remember, that's an area of the game that, not only us as fans, but like I'm sure the coaches would have challenged him on, like his tackling ability, because his technique early days was not the greatest, let a few slip. So for him to hold a few, which is really good to see for his development, but also just the way he had clean hands, like when he picked the ball up off the deck at times. The way he went back defensively to help out, particularly in that third and fourth quarter, Jane. To get a fist in or to take a mark and win the ball back for us, I thought was fantastic. So I thought he had a really solid game, Jane. And well done to Sammy Durham.
Yeah, Jake Stringer, we mentioned earlier, mate, he had quiet disposals. Only had the 8 disposals, which is hard to believe. Still 6 kicks, 2 handballs, 6 marks. It's not bad when you get 8 disposals and 6 of them are marks. 2 tackles, kicked a beautiful goal, and also set up one with Peter Wright. And he is a player that played a lot of time on the ground to have 8 disposals, but I always think with Jake Stringer, the opposition are so focused at stopping him, you're basically taking away one of their players as well.
Absolutely. Like you have to pay him the respect he deserves because it can be so dangerous, Dan. So look, I think he played a really team-oriented game. Again, brought others in and sacrificed his own game to a degree. So I thought, look, for his troubles, I thought he played a solid game. Like you'd love to see him get involved a bit more with the footy in hand. But I thought what he did with the footy when we needed him to was pretty bloody good. So, solid game from Jake Stringer.
Mason Redmond started the game with a bang, bang through the middle with a beautiful kick. He ended up with 19 disposals, 14 kicks, 5 handballs, 6 marks. And he was a bit sore, as you mentioned, mate. And Brad Scott was asked about this in the presser. And they said, "Oh, we're not sure. Like, we didn't even get a chance to test his hamstring because he was flying at marks and diving towards the footy in that." And he goes, "I've had hamstrings before. I can't do that with a hamstring." So he basically said that it doesn't think that it was there, and maybe some tendonitis.
That's what they're saying.
Hopefully it's just a thing that in a week's time it can heal. Or at least You can get the miles in the league so you can be ready for the game against Geelong because he'll be, again, a very important player in that game.
Buddy, if you will. I think Redmond played a pretty good game. Like that kick of goal to start us off is huge. Actually, had the 511 meters gain. So again, he ran it from down back and got us going forward. To pretty good effect. Had the 6 score involvements off that. Used the ball really well. Went at about 95%. So look, despite him, getting a bit curtailed towards the end there, like worried about that. That hamstring, I think he played a really solid game for us. And let's hope he can get up against the Cats.
Jake Kelly, I thought he did a really good job on Isaac Rankin. Who's such an, he can be a magical player. Although he kicked a couple of goals, I think Isaac, Jake made the day a lot busier for him in terms of, a lot of pressure and tackle. So he had the 16 disposals, seven kicks, nine handballs, and six marks. Just the one tackle, but there was a number of times where he stopped Isaac in his tracks and he had to give the ball off, and he didn't want to take Jake on.
I think he played a really big game. Yeah, sorry, mate.
I was just going to say, and a goal. Sorry, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Cherry on top. I thought he played a really good game. Kept Rankin pretty quiet. They've got a couple of crafty forwards, Adelaide. So I think, he in tandem with, the likes of, Ridley and Redmond McGrath, obviously. I think they played quite well together, and there's some really big efforts on the wing and down back to either lock the ball in, make sure Adelaide didn't get out, or to win the ball for us and get it going our way. I think he is a real battler, Jake Kelly, and I think he played quite a good game on the day.
Brandon Zerk Thatcher, I thought he was really good as well. He really knows how to. He's starting to read the play much better than when he was first into the side. He's starting to get those games behind him, mate, and he's taking good marks. Sometimes his decision making, isn't always A1, if so to speak, but he's certainly minimising the clangers or the brain fades. I think he had 18 disposals, seven kicks, 11 handballs, and I think it was, is it six marks or eight marks? Was it eight marks?
Eight marks, yeah.
Yeah, and just the one tackle. So good game from Brandon, I thought. And, he got slung last week and looked in, world of hurt. Mm. Every week he gets up and, you wouldn't know the next game that he's, playing like he's been beaten to the pulp the week before.
He's obviously a pretty tough hombre, Jane, and obviously we remember him getting punched in the head and getting suspended for hurting Heaney's hand. Got looked up from match review, didn't get suspended, but that's how tough he is. I thought he played a really good game, Zerk. He was desperate in defence. Made some really nice marks down there, and as I said earlier, timed his run at times to leave his man and go for the footy. Had the 11 intercept possessions, Jane, which is really good to see. And despite that clangor I talked about earlier when he tried to kick it to Merritt, didn't quite come off, he actually used the ball fairly well, like went at 83%. So, I thought another really solid game from Zerk Thatcher. Well done to him because... I was doubting him last year, Jane. I thought, I'm not sure if this bloke's going to make it. And, he's absolutely proved me wrong with spades.
Yeah, it's been a much-needed key defender that we need badly. So, really good stuff. Andrew Phillips, again, he was very good, I thought. You don't look at his stats and think they jump out. Just the eight disposals, five kicks, three handballs, and three tackles. But the 31 hit-outs and... just his body work, he really makes the Crows or the opposition know there's a big body out there. He smothered one, I think, there, mate. And so he's a real battler, as we know. He's had to do his footy career the hard way, really. But this year, Brad Scott's taken to him and really almost played him every week. So it's only been a few times he's been out of the side, and over his career he's used to being dropped regularly. So usually when you're 32 years of age, you're wondering if it's slowing down, but he's actually improving his career totals by the week, basically. But unfortunately at this stage he has been rubbed out of the Geelong game on the back of making head eye contact with Riley. So that's really disappointing, but we'll wait and see what the club does in terms of appeal.
I think in terms of his actual game, I thought he played a quite a good game. James, his ability to contest the footy, not only in the ruck, but around the ground. Like, we didn't see him take as many marks. Not even listeners having one, but, like, he certainly flew for a few. So despite his low disposals and marks and all the rest of it, I think he did have some good impact on the game. Certainly needed his physicality out there at times. Didn't use the ball as well as we'd like. 37%, Jane, which you'd hope for a bit better than that. But I thought he battled it out. Certainly at least evened things in the ruck. And Riley O'Brien is a pretty decent ruckman, Jane. So I thought Phillips played a pretty good team role.
Now, Mac Welfi is a really important player to us. Kicked a couple of goals. 18 disposals, 7 kicks, 11 handballs, 2 marks, and 6 tackles. So that's a kind of perfect defensive forward role you could play. And, those 2 goals were really classy as well.
It was quite a good game from Goffey. It's not only what's on the stat sheet, but stuff that's not there as well. That big smother, I think he might have even had another later on, which is really nice. A few clearances even, Jane. So getting involved in all areas of the ground. Had pretty clean hands below the knees. Was effective with the ball when he had it. Went at about 89% disposal efficiency. Had 11 contested possession chance. So, he's not just getting the Joe the Gooses out the back. He's winning it and then using it pretty well. So I thought, he played a really good game. Did well.
And now Nick Martin continued his rise to being, in contention for a All Australian spot, mate. He had the 28 disposals, 17 kicks, 11 handballs, 9 marks, 1 tackle, but 2 goals. So that's a pretty good complete game by your wingman.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought, it was a fantastic game from Nick Martin. Like to get like that amount of footy and to use it so well, as he does. Look, only sort of 80%, but like some of these kicks are just beautiful. Like really nicely weighted. Set us up nicely for success. But it actually did some hard stuff as well. Like had the 9 contested possessions. Got us going forward with 8 scoring involvements, and taking those 9 marks is huge. Like just to get involved in the play there, a couple of those like that finger tipper, in the forward 50 to go back and kick one of his goals there, James, which is really good to see. And it's not just the goals he kicks himself; it's the 3 goal assists he made to get other blokes in good position. So I thought, look, he's won. He's a digit short of a triple double, Jane. I thought he had a fantastic game against the pros.
That's right. And Jai Menzies, again, mate, he's done well. He's played 15 games this year. For a guy that was picked up, at a mid-season draft, we shouldn't be surprised with the likes of Nick Martin, but Brad Scott made reference to, Sam Darragh, all these guys that are picked up in mid-season or SSP selections. If he didn't know that, he would assume they were first round picks. And Jai Menzies, look, he doesn't get a lot of the footy, but what he does is use it well when he gets his opportunities, and he's really tenacious. He puts a lot of tackling pressure on in that forward 50. He only has a 6 disposal, but 4 kicks, 2 handballs, 3 tackles, and 2 goals. So again, those small forwards, sometimes they just got to take the most of their opportunities, and he certainly did that.
He did, mate. He's just smart around goal, Menzies. As you say, like that sort of tenacious pressure around the ball, particularly like to get those 3 tackles in our forward 50, worth their weight in gold for us because it just locks it in there. And I thought to get another couple of goals to him, he's having a really good season. He's stringing together. So I thought, another really solid game from John Menzies, and good luck to the boy.
Well, mate, we've finally got through them. We go on to our Don's Cast Medal votes. And as always, you lead it off.
Absolutely, mate. So This is how I saw it. So I went one to Parrish, two to Hobbs, three to Heppel, four to Martin, but had to go with Zach Merritt for the five Doncaster medal votes. What about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
Yeah, I thought Merritt was the standout. Again, he's just such a great player for us. I went for Nick Martin just because of his impact and also those two goals. Closely followed by Darcy Parrish, who really had the ball on a string as well. And whilst he can still make the odd error here or there, he's still so impactful, especially with those quick hand releases and so forth. Two, I gave the Dyson Heppel, who continued on his improvement throughout the year. And one, mate, I went for Andy McGrath. I thought he did a really good job down back, really supporting, those small forwards, or really, trying to curtail those small forwards, and kept the, close game to us.
Yeah, brilliant. And yeah, good call of that. All right, I'll tally up the votes, James, if I go from the bottom. So we've got three votes to Durham, four to Zerk Thatcher, five apiece to Wright and Perkins, six to Draper, seven to Setterfield, eight to Wiedemann, 10 to Phillips, 12 each to Caldwell and Kelly, 18 apiece to Heppel and Scheel, 21 to Stringer, 27 to Hobbs, 31 to Langford, 33 to McGrath. And our top five, James, so we've got Parrish on 39, Redmond on 48, Martin on 49, Ridley on 51, and out in front is Zach Merritt on 73 Doncaster medal votes.
Yeah, so Zach's really made his move, as he heads towards another Doncaster medal. But let's hope we can see the guys perform admirably down at Geelong, a venue we don't usually travel to. And yeah, so we just got to hope that we can put up a much better effort than we have in the last couple of times we played Geelong. Yeah, it's a really important game for us, and I can't say Geelong are in the same form that they have been previously. So I still think there's a brittleness to them, but they are bringing in probably Jeremy Cameron as well. So certainly going to be a tough game down there.
By the earth it will, Jane. But let's hope the boys are up to it, but certainly we know the effort's going to be there.
That's right. Well, thanks for listening. Until next week, go Bombers.
Go Dons.